It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Today, what we're going to do is he's having a problem with the software. He'll come in. We'll go over some of the new stuff. I want to tell you some stuff anyway. But we have Robert Walton. Now, Robert, he gave up a lot of the conventional things. You know, he had a yellow vest epiphany. Now, this is after the 2018 election cycle, where he saw the state of Utah completely disregard binding people's referenda. Binding people's referenda. Maybe you can tell us about that, what that was. He was honored to join the, Les GJ, I don't know how you say it in French, but in France, during months of 2019, and have returned twice since. Well, he made a lot of friends there, and he got a dose of whatever French yellow vests were protesting. So he's enamored with them. What happened was he's a listener of the show, and I guess he's from or was in Arizona. And this is like a year or two ago, and we're still kind of in the lockdown-y, mandate-y, vaccine-y kind of crap. And he was listening to the show, and he was really involved in Paris with the Yellow Jacket protest there of the people. And I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But now he makes a full-time effort of yellow vesting, whatever that is. We're going to find out. And considers it an honor to be associated with the brave yellow vesters of France, but also as a righteous form of penance for all the years he worked on and established and in establishment politics. Now, they have a Rumble channel, Yellow Vest Radio, and they communicate, and they have a lot of supporters here in the U.S. And it seems like, I really don't want to speak for them, but it's like Socialist Workers Unite kind of thing, And, the damn billionaires, there's like billionaires out there being billionaires and stuff, and we got to, de-billionaire them. It's a left kind of thing, but I really wanted to get it from him because it's at the core or part hovering around the core of the protests of what's going on in Europe, because it was in opposition to just ever increasing cost of living. It was just kind of a general tax. They taxed my goat. They taxed my coat. I mean, that kind of thing. And the yellow vests were in protest to that. I'm not really sure clearly what was the goal. Now, the reason they call them yellow vest is because in France, for some reason, they have, it's a requirement that you have, along with a car jack and a spare tire, a yellow vest. It's like a construction vest. It's a safety vest. So they all had it, so they just put it on and go out, yep, we're protesting. Because we're protesting. You need to be protested. So it became a thing for months, years. It's just French in the street. And when you, I guess there's a point of desperation in cities. People just come together. It's a party, man. Where's the beer? I don't know. I guess here in the U.S. it was, Antifa or Black Lives Matter or on the right. That's one thing. On the right, they don't really protest. They they go to a rally. There's protests and there's rallies. You know, protester, heck no, we're against something and somebody, and you got to make you something. And a rally is more, we're right and they're wrong. You know, you're wrong and we're right. And they amp each other up. So a rally, a protest, kind of two different things, you know. But I've seen a lot of protests turn into rallies. And a rally for what? You know, it's a rally for they, them, those. They need to get rallied. So this is a, it's going to be interesting. And he'll get on. He has to use, call it in as opposed to software. So he's having problems. So Donna's walking him through it. But he'd been on the bus before. It was not a year or two ago. He contacted us, asked us to meet. We were traveling around, you know, the valley, friends and family, something. Stopped, talked to him. Thought he was kind of cool, not dangerous, you know, nice guy. You know, just paying attention, has his own opinion. Well, come on, let's do a show about it. We'll do a show, do a really big show. So we did that, and it was interesting. So my thing is that we're back, and a lot of stuff that's going on in Europe. We need a European perspective. Oh, Donna, did you get hold of Barry? Barry Kerwin.
Not yet.
Have you tried?
No.
Okay. As soon as we get done with this, do that right then. If you don't do it right then it'll get right then done. So this is Barry is Ireland, a businessman that we've known for years, and he's just a really nice guy. And he and his wife, they vacation every year around the world. You know, it's like Cambodia, Nepal. I mean, it's just a thing. So, and we met him in Acapulco for a couple of years. Well, what we're going to do is they can give us a business perspective of he and his friends around what's going on in Ireland and the European Union. And a lot of times, whether they actually know, it's the rhetoric. What's the rhetoric? What's the narrative? What are they doing? You know, so it's it's good to get these perspectives because what they're telling you is going on ain't what's going on, right? I can just tell you that. That's not what's going on. You know, what did they say is happening? Well, that ain't what's happening. Coffee. So what we'll go ahead and do while she's working on that, if you can get that taken care of, is we'll start going over Freedom's Phoenix for the papers, read the news. Yep, let's look at the news. All right, she's got, he's up there. All right. Dang it, I was just going to get into some good. Well, it all kind of work anyway, so we'll do that.
Ernie.
Robert, gotcha, we're good?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Google Play and I don't get along too well, I guess.
That's fine, yeah. That's fine. Okay, now this is one thing. I was introducing you to, we had to start the show, but I go ahead and introduced you a little bit, you know, like back in 18, you had problems with Utah being ornery, and you joined the Yellow Vest, went there, hung out, and enamored with whatever it was that they were doing. So we're going to find out. Let's do that first. Now, what happened in the state of Utah that you saw them just disregard people's referenda? What does that mean?
Yeah. So, I sort of was a little bit of a known entity in Utah politics there for a couple decades. And about that time, starting about, I don't know, what was it, about 2015, 16, there became another way for candidates to get on the ballot, and that was to collect signatures to get around the local conventions or whatever. If you remember, Bob Bennett got knocked out of convention by the current U.S. Senator Mike Lee. And so this was something that the establishment sort of created to get around that kind of populist revolt within the party. And so that an incumbent could secure their position on a primary ballot without having to go through a convention. And so being a lobbyist and a conventional creature that I was at the time, I joined up with a business partner and interest in a signature gathering business. It was a way for us to, curry more favor with these politicians. So when 2018 came around, there were four major referenda and our company got retained to help with those and really got to see from the inside what it takes to put those things together.
So your company, you like petition gathering or something?
Yeah, yeah. And we really just did it as a, it wasn't our primary interest. It was just sort of a favor for the politicians that we were hoping to lobby, right? We would just help them get the signatures they needed to keep them.
Yeah, of course, that's how it works, yeah.
Right, right. And, but, boy, I got a rude awakening, you know. I'm a little slow. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I was running around with these people for 20 years. I had to get slapped in the face by what they did in 2018 to even have a clue. And, you know, the state legislature immediately overturned the results of two of those referenda. The next one they overturned in the following legislative session, and the next one they overturned after the next census. It was an anti-gerrymandering proposal. It went to the state Supreme Court. They just shrugged, and I lost my mind. I couldn't believe it. I thought we had government up by and for the people. quite clearly, we do not.
Well, so, you know, so how did that enamor you with what was going on in France? Make the link there. You know, you saw that they... So this is elections. They just did what they wanted because they could, and they did it, and life sucks, and... You know,
yeah, I mean, they just said, you know, they really wanted to send a message that these referenda should not be used, you know, and that they won't work and that we'll just overturn them. They succeeded.
No, we've had that experience here in Arizona. We just like, see, you know. So let me make this one statement before we get to France. Our question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that in the end, after your experience with the process and protesting and going to France and everything, that it's going to, the changes are not going to be at the ballot box? Is it going to be force? Is it going to be, you know, they're going to do whatever they're going to do until you stop them or make them do something? I mean, what's your experience there?
It's not going to be the ballot box. I guarantee you that. Please, people, Take my word for it. If you haven't learned for it, you know, save yourself a lifetime. If you want to play around in the system, they got a lifetime of stuff for you to do. You can go petition for the rest of your life and campaign for anybody you'd like to, and even get a citizen initiated referendum on the ballot. And they're going to do what they want to do. There is no rule of law. Okay. I had to learn that the hard way.
Well, I give you in the late 90s, there's a couple of things. You know, I went through we used to have a newspaper called Citizens Take an Initiative, and it was the initiatives that they would file politically in Arizona. So we would print them. One year we had 36. You know, it was a wide range of, we were in there, this is what we would do. Then a bunch of them became legislation, and a lot of them became law. And what we found out, one of them that they had done, there was another group that was well funded, the University of Phoenix owner, and so a gazillionaire, he had plenty of spare cash, and they legalized, this was 98, I think, they legalized marijuana a little bit. It was kind of had, well, you get a freebie, ticket on the first couple, and then maybe some, you know, therapy or something, if you whatever. So it kind of started softening. It wasn't legalization, but it was decriminalization a little bit. Well, it got overwhelmingly supported, 76% or something, and that is November. By January, when the legislative session came in, they undid it. They go, oh, no, we don't like it, struck it down, don't care what the people say. So then they did another initiative saying you have to have a supermajority, two-thirds, three-quarters or something, to undo whatever the people have passed as an initiative. Well, they didn't like that, but then they flooded in all kinds of healthcare stuff and taxing them, you know what, and once they get that passed, especially if they got a little bit of corruption at the ballot box, you can't undo it. So it was just, man, this is, you know, got abused. Then there was a repeal of Arizona's income tax. They had all of the ballots done. Anyway, got sued off the ballot. Boom, we're going to vote on whether we get Arizona income tax. No, you're not. Took it off because we said,
yeah,
you know, life sucks. Yeah. So this is, you know, it's not, people think, well, if I get in the process and I go and I do and I get and I, you know, obey the law and I do it right, no, you're not allowed. So this experience you get, what was going on in France? Similar kind of stuff?
Well, and that's what was going on at the time, or, you know, what really clicked in my mind. I would love it if Nick came in. He's the guy who kind of produces this Yellow Vest Radio and kind of just, as a side hobby. He does a little podcasting, and he was doing something at the time on direct democracy, and that really, you know, piqued my interest, and clicked with him, and we started sharing this stuff going on in France, and we see them arguing, you know, the basis of the Yellow Vest movement, or depending on who you talk to, of course, we have no leaders, so yeah, it depends on who you talk to, but the RIC, Referendum Initiated by the Citizen, RIC, was a theme that we constantly would see early on in the Yellow Vest movement, and still do. So there was sort of a bond with that we saw, and then there was a lot of discussion. A lot of us who were, I guess, the last presidential candidate a lot of people like me were enamored with maybe was Bernie Sanders in 2016. And then having seen what happened there, you know, we're looking for other alternatives. And I just saw that. And then after 2018 and what I saw, I was so outraged by what I saw in Utah. I mean, my purpose in going in France was to try and embarrass Utah state government on a global stage. And I had a little bit of success doing that. I just was incensed, like a lot of us are when we finally wake up and realize how illegitimate everything is.
Well, we were showing some of the graphics and pictures of the Yellow Vest movement, the artwork, the logos, and so on, and wearing the vest and everything. What got them in the streets, and is it connected to what's going on now? So tell me about the Yellow Vest. Why would you even care? I mean, you know, it's France. Why do I give a crap? Where do I get one of them vests? I want one. I mean,
you know, this country's history with France is important any way you look at it. If you believe the mainstream history, I mean, it's deeply intertwined. Without the French, we'd still be British, right? I mean, Benjamin Franklin hanging out in Paris was an integral part of the American Revolution. The French and American revolutions are deeply intertwined. When I went over there for Act 27, first one, they changed me forever. It was carrying a banner that said RIC Revolution 1776 on one side, 1789 on the other. People make fun of the French since World War II or whatever, but there's no other republic on the planet more like ours than them. They literally copied the U.S. Constitution in 1789. Now, they've had five mini revolution since then. We're still on our first iteration, but as things actually stand on the ground, they're less free than we are as we speak. They, you know, the cops can just walk up to anybody on the street and just search their bags over there, or search your car at will without cause, that kind of thing. So they're less free than we are, despite being on the Fifth Republic. And I was honored to be in France on July 14th, 2019, when there was a proclamation made from the streets by a well-known council of Yellow Vests. And nobody signed the document. We're not about personalities, but there was a proclamation of the first direct democracy of France on July 14th, 2019, which I think is, you know, as it's understood, it depends on who you talk to. I mean, look, the genius... if I might, Ernie, the genius of the Yellow Vest movement as it stands here, it's a movement that's over 5 years old now. It had its fifth anniversary last November. It's an internationally known and recognized revolutionary movement that doesn't have any leaders. And that, I think, is new. But let's keep our eyes open because...
Yeah, no, it's called libertarians. But
well, or anarchy. But, I prefer anarchy to libertarianism. And remember, anarchy isn't necessarily the absence of rules. It's the absence of rulers, right?
No, I'm hip. That's where we overlap. But I want to get a sense because it is decentralized probably more than a lot of other things, but it also makes it to where it's unclear what the goal was. And So I need you to explain to us the Ezra down protesting on the way. Oh, it's Saturday. Well, I guess we got to go Yellow Vest. So they go out and protest. Hell no, we won't go where? We got to have you better what? I mean, what was the request? I remember it being, it was just standard of living. It was fuel taxes, tax. You know, but, oh, we need taxes unless, you know, we don't like it, and then Yellow Vest. I mean, so I'm wondering, what was the focus, you know, that it started? There's somebody up on the stage. You got a radio show. You got Yellow Vest, you know, Rumble or whatever. They're going at something. What are they talking about? What is the the revolution means what?
Okay, well, let's go. It's a really good question. So now for my left-leaning revolutionary types, they would immediately, if they're well-read, will come out and say, oh, no, he's making a Stamp Act claim, which a lot of leftists will discredit. But in fact, there's no question that Macron's intent to raise the gas tax had an impact on the advent of the Yellow Vest movement. Okay. Now, no one talks about that at all anymore. It was beaten back initially. So, you know, maybe you could say that was an overhyped component to it. But look, also, you have to consider, everybody needs to consider, any major protest movement, and I even think that's true of the Yellow Vests, although it's much more organic, I believe, than almost anything you're going to find. It's all infiltrated, and how these things get started are always a little dubious and suspect. You know, the reason it started in France is because there's this strange law that you have to have one of these yellow vests in your car. If you go to Paris today and rent a car, it will literally have a yellow vest in the glove box. It's the law, supposedly. So, and, you know, there's some indications that, you know, they, them, those may have had a finger in it and just trying to bring general chaos, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Well, that's true of everything, all the way down to this last attempted trucker convoy and everything else. Okay. Right, left doesn't matter. They, them, those have their people out there. So today, I would say, especially in America, what we're trying to do is we go wherever humanity gathers and try and keep it human. And remember who the enemy is. The great Yellow Vest proverb that I like to quote a lot is, you know, anybody punching down on regular folks while billionaires still walk the earth needs to be slapped. Okay? It just doesn't make any sense. So where it came from, that's how it started. It started around, it was November 18th, 2018. A lot of people talking about that gas tax and other things. And then everybody came out in the streets wearing their yellow vests that first Saturday. Now, it was called Act 1, and now we're on Act, I don't know, 300 and something.
Right. So you're hoping to what? Now you bring it back to America. I want to get your experience there and what these people think and what's going on now. But you bring it back, and what you wanted to bring back and share with your fellow Americans, you know, another political act, is what? We got a what? We're going to come together to what?
Yeah, the two things that I think that we can learn from across the pond here. One is we've got it's left and right. There's no longer any left and right. I mean, that's one thing the Yellow Vests have really achieved. There are people from all sorts of political spectrums. Everybody gets it. You got people who
gets what? I must have missed the whole thing.
There's no one to vote for. There's no one you can vote for. There's no one you can sue. It's gone. Okay.
So now, get a gun. I mean, occupy the land. I mean, what? So get a gun, occupy the land, you know, eat your Cheerios. I mean, there's some action plan or common, you know, my yellow vest looks better than your yellow vest. I mean, there's some binding thing that keeps these people, you know, interested together when you're communicating with them, you're listening to them, you're on the chat. You know, I'm just wondering. It's just, and all billionaires must divest themselves of their billions.
The beauty of it is, Ernie, is that it just may be a little different depending on who you talk to, but I can give you some general ideas. Early on, we had what we called the 3 points of unity. And the 3 points of unity were one.
Oh, I hear 3 points of unity. Okay, everybody get your pencils out. Get your pencils out. Here we go.
Someone else. But the first
all right.
Humanity first. Second one was anti-austerity, and the third one was direct democracy.
Okay. Now, I remember the anti-austerity thing, what they were talking about. This is a budget thing. This is a focus of, you know, Macron. And was it Macron that was in charge at the time? You know, I don't
know. He was and still is, if you believe politicians are in charge of anything.
I don't care. But the I'm embarrassed I even remembered the name. So you have somebody in charge.
Well,
you're doing better than
Biden. He still thinks it's Mitterrand or somebody.
Anyway, that's a whole other subject we'll get into later. But the there was an austerity push, which meant we still going to take a bunch of your money. We're going to increase the taxes here. Food goes up. Fuel goes up. Cost of living goes up. Rents up. But we're cutting all social services. We're going to starve you out. We got to get austere. We got to. So that was the big, hey. You promised, and we did. Where's my month-long vacations every year kind of thing? And anti-austerity thing. They're going, nope, you're cutting services, and you're still taxing. My fuel went up this, and you're taking that. So it was not that they didn't want to be governed. It wasn't an anarchist movement as much as it was a, you're not spending enough money. You're not doing it right. You're not governing me correctly, as opposed to not governing me.
I think that's true for the rank and file. Now, the average Frenchman, I think, has a better understanding of the possibility on the political spectrum than the average American. But still, everyone is on a learning curve. Everybody who came out. I mean, a lot of people came out with a vest on just for some sort of a social issue that just outraged them or found it, offensive to humanity or their sensibilities of common decency. And are learning as we go along. And I got to tell you, I mean, my views have evolved. I mean, every protest changes me. That's the problem with us humans is each generation needs to relearn what the previous one did. And that's why it's so important that we, are able to pass down our best knowledge to the youth. And I think those are actively trying to disrupt that. It's not a perfect situation, but what we've seen is an increasing understanding of how far gone this is. The problem is, and I think you see it too, Ernie, is that those don't really care that we know anymore. Like they're sort of hoping that this is going to go to some sort of chaos and that they're going to bring their prescribed solution to that chaos. And I guess today, we could talk about the three tacks that we did a couple years ago. Those are still operative. And on a localized level, I mean, that's just a guidance. I mean, how we're going to figure this out. But I guess I kind of lost my train of thought there, Ernie. But
well, this is one thing. Let me go into one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is that I wanted to give you an opportunity to, express yourself. But what's going on here in America, your experience with the camaraderie of the people there, is there a sister brother kind of effort here? If not Yellow Vest, who do you identify with? Do you get, the progressives, the left, the Biden people, the MAGA? I mean, who's your people here?
Well, you'll find Yellow Vests all over. That's one of the more gratifying things that I see happen is I'll see, for example, a pro-Palestinian protest will pop up somewhere in the country, and you'll see Yellow Vests there. People I don't even know, never talk to, and you'll see people wearing Yellow Vests. It means different things to different people. I've seen...
it means they want to protest Israel, in support of Hamas or Palestine or something. Is there a common...
But even more than that is we're just sort of against the concept of war. And let's be honest, is there a stupider concept on earth? It's like, go kill these people you never met because my costume is fancier than yours.
We're looking at also Ukraine. Just war in general is a waste of. See, this is one thing that I get. They're going, do you know how many, baby bottle factories you could build for the cost of that war and how many houses you can do and how many. I go, how much money I could keep? What about that? Oh, no. We want the budget of the military-industrial complex. We just want to spend it over here. And I go, how about not spending it? How about giving it back to me? How about that?
It's insane. It really is crazy. And
that one of the things of the people? Are they, it's not just, it's not that they're being governed. They shouldn't be governed. Is it that we're being governed wrong? You're doing it wrong. We want the force of government to take the resources, especially them billionaires. Damn, you get their money. They earned it honestly by, you can't be honest and be a billionaire. It doesn't matter how many, Starlink, thing, satellite you got, you still billion, you got to take it. Give me. You know, you don't deserve it because you got too much. And I need to understand what the perspective is on this, because the Yellow Vest movement kind of segued right into what's going on. But now we don't have, you know, the poorer, the downtrodden, the abused, the exploited, or whatever. You got farmers with freaking $200,000 tractors going up and saying, "What the you." Stop! You better stop, because I got some more manure to, you know, put in the front door. You won't be able to get into the EU building. So I'm just,
well,
that
always is, been the, especially the French farmers have been a key component of the Yellow Vest movement from the beginning. And if you look at the fights going down in Brussels, you'll see them in their Yellow Vests all over the place.
Really?
And again, oh yeah, oh absolutely, absolutely. That's what I want to say.
Okay,
why? You have Yellow Vests.
What is their What is the tractor owners, guys that, you know, have farms, they're making, you know, a living, maybe, you know, and all of a sudden they're just consciously trying to put them out of business. They want to stop the food chain. The shelves will be bare. We're going to starve the people out. What do you think the goal is of them? And then they see it as an extinction level event, that there won't be a next year if they aren't able to plant this spring. Right now, in 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, they got to put the seeds in the ground. We got to start fertilizing. We got to start, oh, no, not nitrogen. You're going to die. You're going to kill us, so we got to kill you. I mean, I'm going, wow. So they had to protest now. They had to do it now. Get out of our face now. Who are they in comparison with the Yellow Vest? And you're saying there's an overlap. What?
Oh, absolutely. There's an overlap. I mean, like I say, in this country, you can see Yellow Vests that are, you know, identify strongly with, like, there were some Q Yellow Vests that I'm sort of embarrassed about, but I think they sort of woke up and saw that was just all to get a bunch of people arrested in January 6th, etc. There are people, you know, Save the Children, a lot of Yellow Vests over there in America. What I want to go back is, look, people are all in different places, and the Yellow Vests have been able to grab enough imagination. It may just simply be the icon of the Yellow Vest itself. Just to have a centralizing symbol makes things translatable or understandable, just to have an identifying icon like that. But there are some very well-read actual anarchists, okay, in the Yellow Vest movement that are part of the core of it. Of course, we welcome anybody. Anybody can call themselves a Yellow Vest. You know, that's one of the beauties of you, especially today where time is so short. Yeah. If you got a good idea, go do it. You know, you don't need to ask permission. But as far as the farmers, you know, like anything, everything's infiltrated. I 100% support their cause. You know, some of the stuff going on.
Yeah,
if
I knew what that cause was, maybe I would too.
Well, their cause is get your automated control fantasies off our food production and let us make real food for real people, right? I mean, hello. But at the same time, you're also seeing, while this is going on, I mean, some major roads have just been destroyed. And so,
yeah, what was that about? Why did they do
that? I mean, you got to figure that they, them, those maybe are going to use these protests to help, you know, clog the food chain, regardless of the honor of the movement itself. And this is, you know, this is a problem we have with protests all around that I've learned, okay, is that it's very hard to get an organic protest just out of the ground without some sort of mainstream media push behind it and so forth. And so that generally means that if it's large, like what's going on in Europe right now, there's probably some they, them, those behind it, okay, make it, even though the cause is righteous, and they might be, you know what I mean? And so
controlled opposition, they got to be
conscious,
they got to be in front of
the
they got to be in front of the minds and the cortex of the people of what this is about. And I've seen it happen often, you know, you know, one of the things that came out of the Levolution was this Tea Party thing. But that was the only reason they did the Tea Party is because Ron Paul had raised so much money on that day, like $6 million a day. Go, woo, that's good. Man, oh, they like that Boston Tea Party Day thing. We'll do that, you know.
Well, and, I'll tell you one thing. There's some unity in the Yellow Vests. I don't think you're ever going to see the Yellow Vests get channeled into an into any kind of electoral politics thing. I think there's
okay. Now that's an observation that's useful. Is that the yellow vest thing? They're not really looking to. So what are they expecting? You know, politicians to go away, the politicians to address something, even though they don't care about politics, or a movement to walk away.
Ernie, and you see it in your explorations is that. You know, there isn't just like, you know, there isn't an instruction manual of solutions today, right? It's really a matter of all of us, you know, doing the best we can, turning over rocks, exploring new ideas, seeing what we can do on a daily, day-to-day basis to really save our species and save our families and whatever else. Because, I mean, we're being poisoned on an industrial scale. We're being lied to on an industrial scale. And so we're
so it's just
we
a...
The three tacks. Oh, but go ahead, Rick.
No, I'm sorry. You were on the way. What you call what?
Yeah, the three tacks. We actually talked about this a couple years ago, and I you know, it's a work in progress, and it's a general outline. The first tack: micro decentralized, voluntary, direct democracy assemblies, denying any outside authority. The second tack: destroy surveillance apparatus. The third tack: publicly name, collectively locate and attack individual billionaires one at a time. And this, I'm sure...
For what? Just because they're billionaires? Or I mean, I got
well,
a list for
got,
you, and they
look,
don't necessarily
name,
be billionaires.
I think that's the least violent solution. I mean, people get all crazy about, oh, you're going to go after the billionaires. Look, they're killing people by the thousands daily. Everyone's freaked out that we're going to name a rich guy and go after him. I mean, we can list the crimes of Bill Gates, okay? We know that. Like, how did Bill Gates get to give a commencement speech at Northern Arizona University and not get gang tackled? How did that happen? If you took out a Rockefeller and Bill Gates just to start, or I'm not even saying, you know, what if we locked them up? What if we performed a citizen's arrest on Bill Gates? I mean, this needs to be done.
Or a pie to the face. You know, this has been a common theme. It's starting. People are starting to finally get. And I highlight this stuff because I think it's interesting that we can do this, is that it's a dissatisfaction with the system. You know, there is this buy for of the people thing. There, you know, a lot of people come to the realization that, that's not working. You know, but when you had in there the decentralized, voluntary, what that supposes a lifestyle, maybe even a location, maybe even a mechanism of self-sustainable housing, doing occupy the land kind of thing. And I'm going, is there a physical manifestation of this in a location of yellow vests unite in their tent on the forest of something? I mean, is there a gathering?
There are many. There are many of all different sorts all over the place. And some of them aren't focused, unfortunately, are not. I think the smartest ones are focused on food and growing and this kind of thing. But that isn't the only kind. I mean, there are voluntary yellow vest associations of all sorts and aren't necessarily
So tell me about this, how they're infiltrated. You got all these different organizations, yellow vests all over the place, and then, you know, there's always that one guy or gal that, here I am to save the day, and where's your database, and give me your, I got a laptop and put all the on, I'll tell you what's up, you know? And then there's always a guy with the sound system. Who's the guy with the speakers? You ever got to get Fred over here. He has the speakers. He's part of the inside crowd because he knows how to use a mixer, okay? Then you get somebody. Who's got the microphone? You know, it's always the guy with the microphone. Who's the guy that's got the microphone? Who's in charge of the microphone? Because here you have law enforcement. Whenever did you get a permit for this protest? It's been, shut up. And then they go around. You know, all right, who's in charge? Well, nobody in charge. All right, whose microphone is this? That's how they identify. They'll go, I've been doing this a long time, and the first thing they want to do, who owns this microphone? If we take the speaker, who's gonna complain? Okay. Yeah, you know what? You're shut down. You know, put the amplifier in the back of the squad car. Hey, that's my so you're the guy, okay? So who's behind that? What is the anti? Who is the one who wants to help you with your computer database all the time? They come first. They leave last. They're you know instigating. Got a plan. You see my point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, I don't. I mean, sort of a.
Well, you don't know. You don't care. It's like we're here. Well, we are. Woohoo!
Of course, I would care. When you're going on a protest footing, when you're a protest, and I think most yellow vests sort of understand in France, even though they go every Saturday, you can see the yellow vests across France every Saturday.
Still,
and I don't think that's because they expect to, you know, overturn something that given Saturday. It's really more of a public awareness thing that they do now, and also just the sense of community that comes with the fellow protesters. But that's also where you're likely to see the most infiltration is in a protest setting. Hopefully, wherever someone is working on their first tack, that's a little more, you know, personal and, you know, people around you are. But, you know about signature reduction in this country, 60,000 some odd people. The Stasi are here, y'all. The secret police are in America right now. We are in full-blown fascism.
Yeah,
right now.
No, this is yeah, no, I'm with you there. I remember the surveillance was a big thing, and you know, it's just you know, damn.
Yeah.
So people, now we have.
I mean, if anyone's listening to this, we're in fascism in America right now. If you don't know what that is, you know, ask Ernie. He'll put me. If you want me to describe it, whatever, I'm happy to do it. But we are in. This is my grandfather's fascism. This is a new. High-tech fascism, where we have an illegitimate ruling class that's trying to put us all under an automated control grid right now. And let me just tell you, just like George Carlin said, they do not give an F about you, okay? They think they own you, and they don't care about you. Not at all. Not at all.
Not at all.
Okay?
Yeah.
Everything on the TV is a show. All right?
So well, even the protests, how they're covered is a show. See, the thing, this, you know, what comes to mind is Konkin. You know, Samuel Konkin wrote, you know, The Agora. You know, he's about free market everything. And it was the concept of the Agora, the market, was a big thing. And that gets worshipped by a lot of, you know, so-called anarchists and so on. I'm wondering if that is even a name that comes up amongst yellow vests at all.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, of course. Look, you got to remember, Proudhon was French. And who was the first person to call himself an anarchist. And I would love to get into that discussion about the king's lie, because there are a lot of people who call themselves anarchists in sort of the more popular social meeting.
Well, press loves talking, calling anybody an anarchist. Everybody calls them an anarchist. Well, the press calls everybody an anarchist. So, I mean, define
that. It's a swear word on mainstream media. It's because no one knows what it means, right? It's just this big, scary term that no one understands. But, you know, look, I'm of the opinion, and we need to think about this, guys. Okay, so let me create a scenario. Let's say 2 years, 3 years from now, they've succeeded in creating just you know, rampant chaos, and everyone's out for themselves, okay? How are we going to – what we need to have in mind, because our illegitimate rulers, the oligarchs, they have a vision for what they want to bring order to that chaos. They've already got that, right? So what we need to do is we need to have a vision of what a human-based order will look like coming out of that chaos. And if we don't have some sort of in-depth understanding of what anarchy is, or what the real instruments of control in this society are, where the first lies were told, where we have illegitimate things going on, we're going to be very susceptible. And I would start off by saying one of the most important things we need to look at moving forward is decentralization. Okay, whatever we're doing, if your thing is, you know, let's go get some land, let's go exit and get some land and make sure we register that land with the county clerk and the state government. I mean, what are we doing? You're just setting yourself up as the next tax entity or whatever. And We need to go back. Proudhon, the first guy to call himself an anarchist, he was not an anarcho-capitalist, which to me is an oxymoron. You can't have anarchy with someone with a huge hoard of capital sitting over here. You can't. He's in charge. There is no anarchy. There's only, you know, monarchy, basically, or, you know, regional monarchy. So what I like to call the king's lie, when the king came out, guys, and a lot of you guys say taxes theft. Okay, well, it's based on the same thing. It's like what Proudhon said, property is theft. Okay, that's the first phrase that you're not allowed to talk about. You're allowed to say taxing is theft all day long, but you're not allowed to say property is theft, because the king came out, pick your king, I don't care. He came out and he said, I own all this land and you have to pay me to live on it. And the world has not recovered from this lie. Now, does that mean I think we should, you know, go and we're going to take your house? No. I think on a local level, if people keep land use on a local level, so everybody in the local area understands how land is going to be used, and you just register it right there and there's understanding. I mean, there's no end to human decency or no end to the various forms of human relationship that can occur, or regional agreements that can occur on how to manage certain land. And if we just think that, you know, coming out of this chaos, the deal is we've all got to hit the land registry at the county clerk and with the state government and or with the federal government or whatever. I mean, what are we doing? You haven't changed a thing. And I assure you that whatever these billionaires have in mind, they, them, and those, is going to absolutely rely on the king's lie and all of their so-called property holdings, BlackRock and whatever else, where they say they own the earth. And this madness saying that you can own the earth, and I'm not saying there's human decency can't provide for everyone should have a place to retreat. And we're not going to people are going to be generally decent with each other, I should hope. But we've got to rethink this a little bit. I'm not saying I have all the answers. It's like everything else. We've got to, you know, keep peeling back the layers of the onion day by day. Think about what you would want your community to look like where you live.
It's local action. Let's go ahead and skip to the end here. We get local action. You have these. This is. I'm trying to find the overlap. I don't have a problem working with, you know, socialist, communist, fascist, whatever. As long as they can be absolutely clear where the overlap is, and often there's not, because there's not a respect for personal property. You know, it's the land. When I say occupy the land, I'm like, well, go buy some, go get some. They go, nope, they're not using it. You know, I've heard this before. They're not using it. So I, you know what the agreement is? I got me and my friends, majority agree. We're on it and we're using it now until we don't want to use it anymore. And I'm going, if it was public land or out in the forest or something, you know, I'm like, all right, you know, it was stolen from somebody anyway. So whatever. But,
it's the same principle though, Ernie. It's like, you know, I sort of think borders are stupid, and I'm not saying I would agree with all the machinations going on the southern border, whatever. But the idea being, like, how far do your masters let you roam before you have to show your papers? I mean, people say, okay, well, see, you don't like private property. You want to kick people off your land? Well, I guess, no, I don't. But the antidote, the question to ask in reverse is, so you believe in restricting people's travel on planet Earth? At the end of the day, Proudhon was right. Property is theft. You can't own the earth. It's gone all the way to the point now where they think they own your DNA. I mean, you can't. They want to make and listen to Whitney Webb and those guys. They want to claim proprietary rights over everything that crawls on the earth. I mean, this is nuts. And so it's really a mental illness. It's like, hey, did you ever see The Gods Must Be Crazy? You remember that show?
Do I remember
you
what?
Ever seen that movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy, did you ever see that?
Yeah, it's about the Coke bottle in the middle of Australia by Aborigines. Thing. Like, where does Coke bottle come from?
Remember, and I think, you know, Native Americans may have been right about, they thought it was a mental illness, the idea that you can own stuff. I mean, I'm not, let's be
okay,
clear
no,
also.
I understand the philosophy. I've heard it before. I've even had this explained at vending tables at Libertarian National Party conventions. I mean, this has been
great.
You're not new. So I just the concept of real property is, you know, if you're making use of it, but then it comes down to, okay, how much are you making use of? You know, it's like the Homesteading Act. You know, it was, you got so many acres, you know, you put out you mark out the corners of your, the Sooners, the Oklahoma Sooners, the people that kind of got in front of the line, you know, maybe cheated a little bit to go claim some property out there in the Lone Prairie of I want this one, you know. So I get that, and there's a big incentive for the government to allow for the prosperity of private ownership, of occupation of the land, of people making it fertile, of putting their life and their liberty, their hands to sustain their life into raw materials that makes their property. Okay. And then is that there? So it's a philosophical thing. There's a disconnect. There's a leaping over. I want it. You know, I need. So it's mine. Cause I need, and I want it, and I'm here, and try and get me off. Well, I'm, you know, basically, it all comes down to force, comes down to a gun, it comes down to, you know, this is mine, not yours, so say it, this is your gun, you know, and whether it's a government or an individual, same thing.
It could come down to human decency. You know, we've been programmed with, like, you know, playing with war toys since we were three. I mean, I don't know. It could come down to human decency.
Okay, let me make this question. This is a good debate question to ask, you know, someone of this mindset. When it comes down to you are existing on a piece of, I got a shed and I'm, you know, this is where I sleep. You know where my house, my home is? It's where I'm sleeping. And tomorrow I'll probably be sleeping here too. I go, maybe the next day after that. And then I start to have a confidence that I can stay here, and you start building and you grow a garden and you educate your children and you start farming. You get a, you know, goat or something. You can, you know, you're occupying. It's mine because I use it. And then, you know, somebody says, nah, I like it. Really, thanks for making that nice fire pit. It's mine now. No, it's not. Yeah, it is. It comes down to what? A gun? It comes down to force? You're going to hire a sheriff to enforce your property rights, of which you don't believe in? You see, it has to work. It has. When you go, freedom and liberty are two different things. You have the freedom to build your fire pit. Your hands can move. You did a lean-to. I'm here. Okay, that's why I got the freedom to do that. But are you in a state of liberty? Are you at liberty to do it? Is there a support from the people? Is there a common, you know, like you're saying, decency, the respect that you've improved that lot and you have an easement, an access to it? You can get to it. They can't block your way. You see what I mean? It starts, all these rules start coming in, and I can see a minimalist argument, and why I take a hardcore anarchist is always something better than this forced collective, I got a gun to tell you whatever, and, you know, and decent people. But there's always, we create government around those sociopaths, psychopaths, warmongering, scumbag, have no conscience, I'm just as soon shoot you and take it, and thanks for playing. You know, I understand that. So I'm looking for some kind of an overlapping, because if I got out, yesterday, Don and I, we got an accepted offer on 18 acres out in the west desert of Maricopa Desert, all right? It's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to start showing people as we start to develop it and get going, and now it's like, you know, all my YouTubes are how to build a road. So I'm going, okay, so we're taking care of that. Well, somebody comes out there. I got a lot of people. Hey, I want to help you. You know, Hal Roberts like, I'll come out and help you. I'll help you in trade for helping you. And I go, yeah, what makes you think I want you to live here? Well, where'd that come in? Yeah, but I did, and it's mine, and I got in a tent. And I, no, you don't. It's mine. Who protects that right?
I tell you, I think human beings are best on a case-by-case basis. Our best face to face, and we've got to learn the lessons that we've learned. I mean, I see a lot of hope in the concept of, here we have an internationally recognized revolutionary movement that's over 5 years old now, and we don't have any leaders. That's an interesting first step. If we remember the tyranny of leadership, if we remember the tyranny of how shit didn't work, that can help. But it's not going to be perfect. But could it be any worse than what we got right now, where they're stealing everything from you, lying to you on a daily basis, and murdering people on a mass scale that you never even met? Yeah. So, I mean, we've got to – I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I definitely think human beings are capable of a higher level of decency. than we have right now, but it's going to come with some level of awareness, and we may be a minority. You know, you do want to pick the people you want to hang out with. You want to find some chosen common values among the people you choose to do a first tack with. And that's all we can do is keep having these discussions, I don't think. I don't think there's a magic bullet. I think it's
you know,
really
I would like to talk to whoever you have that representative on your yellow vest radio thing. You know, who's the guy with the
Nick?
Microphone, you know? Yeah, no, send us this, let them know that we want to talk to him, contact information. I went through this before. It was the Venus Project, okay? It was a Zeitgeist thing. You know, the Zeitgeist movie, and then they made the next one, Zeitgeist Addendum. And there were different people. You had the Venus Project, which is, you know, the scientists should be in charge and we'll tell everybody, you know, what, you know, how many rolls of toilet paper need to be manufactured. I mean, it was a command control central, we're smarter people, you guys just, you know, go along, get along, go away kind of thing. And it was
private property ain't voluntary, but carry on. Sorry.
So what they did is, the Venus Project was kind of, you know, along the lines of what you're talking about, but it was more central. There's somebody smarter. We have allegiance to LAI. It was just science, technocracy kind of thing. And I'm
yeah, well, those
and
guys
I
are,
kept
that, what, those are that's a big time production. Me and Nick are just a couple of dudes. You check this out. I haven't used money in 3 years, so.
So well, tell us about that. That's all punking of you.
Well, it's, you know, it is what it is. I can pull it off because I don't have any dependents and stuff. I'm not saying it's for everybody, but no, this isn't anything like that. I'm just a yellow vest dude who just likes to run his mouth now and again, and just got really pissed off about everything that I'm seeing.
It represents a lot of people.
I
don't
speak for anybody but myself, you know.
Thank you, but I want to get this perspective. It's not just you and your opinion. It's the people that, you know, encourage, tolerate, allow. You get invited to the, you know, the parties, whatever group, and who that is. And if you have this other host, you know, it's up there doing Yellow Vest Radio. I want to talk to him because I want to know what's behind the microphone. All right, let's do that. Now
I'll tell you what. Well, I tried to get him to call in this morning. He's working, so he couldn't do it, but I'm sure he'd talk.
Oh, he's got a job? Yeah, freaking billionaire fascist.
Yeah.
All right, so is what I want. I want to go ahead and have we'll do that, set that up. But the reason I wanted to talk to you is to get a sense of the protesters and the protests going from, like, 18 forward. That was the yellow vest is a big the austerity thing. That's what you hit on. It was they were still taking their increase in taxes and they were pulling services. And the people were like, no. So that was their common thread, as I remember. That it was just this, I said, you know, they're taking from me and they're not giving back. They're doing
it
wrong.
Some of it.
You know, I got,
yes, sir.
So,
uh-huh.
Well, I mean, you know, what was the binding force? I didn't get the impression it was some anti-war thing other than how many houses I could build with that, just the cost of that one missile. I mean, you know, we need baby bottle factories and not, you know, bomb factories. And I can't believe that you kind of, your governing me wrong.
Well, see, what's so great is on any given Yellow Vest Saturday in Paris, you might have four different Yellow Vest protests going at the same time.
See? You know, this is, you know, it's
huge. And they're all focused on something different. You might have a non-war protest. You might have the anti 49.3 thing going on. You might have some other focus. And then you might have, you know, some of these folks that I sort of really identify as being a French patriot doing something with Yellow Vest.
The heck does that mean?
Well, I don't know. Like, yeah, the...
Yellow Vest guys over there, I don't know what they're doing.
They're wearing a yellow vest. There are a lot of parallels in France as far as any sort of... They're trying to start a civil war over there, just like they're trying to start one here. So you might imagine the sides of that are very similar to what... Aside from the language difference, there really is no other country on earth more like America than France. It's very, I mean, we have a, at least since, you know, 1776, we have a very parallel track in a lot of ways. I mean, yes, there are differences for sure, but anyway, so you can imagine.
Well, this is, okay,
but,
I mean, so let me ask a couple of questions before I let you go. I just want to get some questions in. The mood of Europe as a country, I mean, I don't know, that's a union of, it's not like Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, and Missouri, you know, and Nevada or something. It's a whole nother language, different cultures, and they tried to bind them. That question right there, that binding of the European Union, these union states, these countries, you know, it's like, not like what it used to be in the U.S., it was seen like that as a state, like the state of Israel, the state of Denmark, the state of whatever, right? You know, state of Georgia. So then it became this, no, it's a collective United States of America. We got to collectivize everybody so we can put them in the UN and then put them in the world government. So it's always trying to consolidate. And instead of, you know, respecting sovereignty and down to the individual person. So in Europe, when you're there, do you get that sense of the Frenchman, you're like, we are Vive la France, you know, screw Germany? Or is it European Union come together?
No. Yellow vests are very much about, that's another key part of it, is Frexit. I mean, yellow vests, almost to a yellow vest, to each person wants out of the European Union. And if France was successful, that would be it for the EU. I mean, without France, I mean, there's really no EU, especially after Britain left. So that would, and that's a big Frexit. You'll see it. Frexit.
Okay.
A lot of the so-called
French
patriots,
exiting the EU.
Yes. I mean, and let's be clear.
Okay, what about immigration?
It's worse. The EU is much worse than the U.S. federal government. I mean, this is a fundamentally anti-democratic institution. You can vote for a representative, but the only people that can initiate legislation in the EU is the Commission. And the Commission is comprised of one appointee from each member nation. Okay, the President Macron appoints someone to the Commission of the EU. And so I don't forget how I remember many member states, but there's like, I don't know, 20 of them or something. And that's the only group that can initiate any sort of European legislation. And then all the MEPs, the members of European Parliament below, are only restricted to voting on what these elitist, unelected commission, drop in the hopper. So it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. The EU is not a democratic institution. I was so happy.
So there's not German overlap, the German yellow vest people? That doesn't happen? It's just a French thing?
Oh, no. They're German yellow vests. They're German yellow vests all across the world. Now, let me sound a little warning to all my yellow vest friends who might be listening to this. Yes, it's great. We have an international yellow vest movement with no leaders. Okay, but those have a plan for that. And their plan for that is a leaderless global technocracy. Okay? So we yellow vests need to make sure we're not useful idiots in that regard. That's why everything needs to be decentralized. That's why I went over to Switzerland in 2022. There's something called Democracy International, which is clearly an elitist front group trying to capture the term direct democracy for this technocratic goal of theirs. I went over there and blew it up pretty good. I'm very happy with that. But remember, the first tack, micro, decentralized. That is the most important part as I see it. Whatever people are going to do, it needs to be as you see it, as works for your community. And you need community, guys. I mean, this concept of all of us living in a box with a number on it is really new to the human experience. You know, if they can get us all isolated behind a screen with a number on our forehead, that's their pipe dream, right? They're almost there. They got you in a house with a number on it. They got you behind a phone number. We've got to find a way around that, and we've got to find a way to restore our humanity.
Okay. When I'm looking at the show up here and Yellow Vest Radio, the storm is here. What storm?
Yeah.
What's the storm?
That was Nick's name, or we changed it over. I mean, the storm is, I guess.
Whatever. It's okay. So before I let you go, this is one. Yeah, whatever it is. This is the one thing that I want to get a sense of. Europe itself is, you got Polish farmers in their tractors, the Dutch, the German, you know, the French. They're like, nope. Is the EU, the sentiment there that it's going to break up eventually? Is it come together under any cost, or it's like, this didn't work, next?
It's clearly a top-down institution. So I don't know. I haven't been over there since, when did I go over there last? Well, 2022, I guess. I was over there for about 5-6 weeks. I don't think the binds that tie the European Union are as strong as maybe their fortress might suggest. I'm hopeful. I mean, if France breaks away, if they could see, that's why the RIC is so important, because they can't initiate, they can't do that. Remember, Brexit happened via referenda. The French do not have a referenda initiated by a citizen. They can't do it. They could get a certain minister to initiate a referenda to do, but they can't get the Frexit, that
okay,
way.
It has a parliament system. And how are they, is there a party that represents Yellow Vest? Are they get endorsements of a certain party or group of legislators, or how does that work?
No, it's very well. I mean, there are politicians that try and put on the Yellow Vest and try and claim it and stuff, but no, it doesn't work. There's Mélenchon the far left guy got a lot of support and stuff, but no, everybody, that's the real hope of our movement, I think, Ernie, is that everybody in the Yellow Vest movement understands we're not doing politicians anymore. Everybody gets that in the movement. So,
well, then what are they doing? It's a pressure. They're not using their money. Money, what's that? Their body. Are they just occupying space? I'm for it, man. You want to do it? I got Arizona is only 16% of the big state of Arizona. 16% of the land is in private hands. The rest of it's, Native American reservation. It's BLM land. It's Forest Service. It's national parks. It's gunnery range. It's military, whatever the heck. It's 16%. So there's a whole bunch of Occupy. There's a whole bunch of freaking peace out over there. There's a whole bunch. Okay.
Well, with technology,
you can go anywhere.
Well, as long as we'll have to see. But traditionally, being a child of the Western United States, I assume like you are, Ernie, at least. God, the public lands out here, hopefully it stays that way. But it's pretty much the freest place on the planet that I'm aware of. Some of the public lands in the Western United States, where I can go out there, live there as long as I want, do what I want, not see anybody if I don't want. Now, my concern is, you saw some of that shit during COVID. They started locking this stuff up. I'm definitely opposed to that. To any degree they're going to think they're going to lock up public lands, and we've seen this. They've tried it on a couple of occasions.
Oh, no, it's been a trend since the mid-90s. And when I first started doing radio in 03, I remember that being a big deal in 04, 05. It was, started with the Clinton administration as they shut down.
Unless it was like, okay, they shut down like some national parks over budget issues, right? No.
They put boulders on fire roads. The forest is shut down. You're not allowed. It started with you're not allowed to shoot. You can't go. You're shooting on public. You're not allowed anymore. You can't do that. Can't take your guns. It's because they got guns. Guns are bad. You're not doing that. They shut down access to forests. What these big boulders are on, in berms that they do on the forest lands, Then when they got to go fight something, they can't get there.
And look, this is maybe I was, I used to be a state lobbyist for the Sierra Club. That's one of the reasons I'm out here doing penance. But I'm not against, especially some desert landscapes. I'm not a big fan of, I don't think we need a whole lot more roads. But to any degree you're restricting human access, I will fight that tooth and nail. I mean, if you should at least be able to walk anywhere you want out there. Or get on a horse and go anywhere you want. In the very least,
well, they have Eagle, where the land is here, it's called Eagle Tail Wilderness Area. And a wilderness area, when they designate it that way, is that you can walk, you can hike, and you can do horse. You can't take any motorized vehicles, no ATVs, no whatever. Right. So I'm like, yeah, but can I fly an ultralight really slow over it and go see what you don't want me to see? Can I do that? So this is, you know, I understand. I'm really
look, in a world where our government like had any legitimacy or something, that might make some sense. I mean, I think there are some. We don't need to put a road everywhere, you know. That's my view.
I mean,
flying car. Three things alone, but I mean, there are enough roads already. I mean, you can
flying
get
car,
within.
Flying car.
Well, anyway.
Oh, flying car. Give me my flying car. Flying car. Flying car. Solve it. Does that solve your problem?
Yeah, well,
flying car.
Yeah, probably. But look, I got to tell you, Ernie, it's really been an honor and over the last few years to work with people like yourself, to get information from people like James Corbett, to get information from others face to face, to meet the French like I had. What an honor to march with them. I got to tell you, you ever been at, you probably have, Ernie, but I don't know if they get as big as in France, but man, when you're in a really big, big protest where you're so big that you know they can't do anything to you, like you can do whatever you want, that is a really, that was this taste of freedom that the French introduced me to. And to see that you have that much power and that you don't do anything stupid with it, that people are decent to each other, that people are talking to
you. Yeah, you don't have the freedom to throw a brick through a window. I mean,
you
know, I guess you do, because you're not at liberty.
Well, anyway, it's fun to.
Yeah, no, I understand the power, and this is. I'll go ahead and, you know, I want to get to some news stuff. I'll let you go before the end of the show. I got another 40 minutes that I need to do and get to this stuff. But the main thing is that I'm glad that you introduced yourself to us years ago, that we can have this access to this kind of information. I really would want to talk to someone in the movement, whatever that means, and, you know, the microphone, and we can have this conversation. Because I had just yesterday a gentleman that did Planet Lockdown and Nitrogen, you know, which is a documentary, another documentary called Nitrogen 2000 about the Dutch farmer thing. And I've met him before. We spend a week with him at, you know, a farm. We have common friends and interviewed him up there and kind of got to know him. He's kind of negative Nelly. You know, he's not positive. He's kind of mad at all. It's all they're doing it wrong. Well, this guy rose up and led. They're doing it wrong. They're all doing it wrong. And I'm going, okay, what's right? What is the solution? And his thing, one thing that he could articulate clearly was some people got to go to jail. Some people got to be punished. Till they're handcuffing and frog marching some of these guys in, billionaires or not. You know, I don't care how much money they got. It's the crap that they do. And until that happens, he's not interested. Is that something the yellow vest are, you know, you got this government thing? Fine, arrest this guy, this gal, and that person because they suck, you know, for whatever reason. Is there any kind of retribution or punishment that they deem is justified?
Again, I only speak for myself, but again, the third tack is publicly name, collectively locate and attack individual billionaires one at a time. So I think there's
why
some people that got it coming. I mean, you name them. I mean, Bill Gates, and I don't think.
Okay, no, I got plenty of billionaires, but it's not because they got billions.
Yeah,
I don't give a crap how much money he got. They're just scumbags.
The purpose is to stop this assault on humanity. That's the reason behind the third tack. I would think it's not retribution.
Yeah, it's just like saying tax the rich thing. Why would I want to tax the rich?
Well, I think it's a lot more visceral than that. But I think it's more like, you know, let's stop this nonsense and you know, I look, we got to do something. You just gonna let these?
No,
people...
I'm hip. I just want to see how deep the understanding goes. And I'm just, man, if I had access to all you guys, I go occupy the land. I mean, you know, get out of this. Say, I want you to govern me better. You're doing it wrong. You know, the lawn Nazis have the wrong height of the grass to Nazi. I mean, I'm like, what? I don't care.
I don't know, man. Hey, before we go, two things. We must be doing something right, because like Matt Taibbi says from his Twitter files, they've been censoring us yellow vests. There's no question about that. I got kicked off just before Trump was elected, I got offered $90 to leave Facebook. I gave them the finger and they kicked me off anyway. But,
$90?
Hey,
here's $90. Leave
yeah,
Facebook.
$90. There's like, yeah, $90. Quit posting until the election. It was really funny. But
from
hey,
who was going to do that?
Yeah, it was the strangest thing. It was like they came with this convoluted. We have this program that if you quit posting between now and the election, we'll give you da 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 da. And it's just convoluted. It's crazy. But hey,
wow.
Does Larkin Rose live around here? What I would.
The last I knew, yeah, he's at an Acapulco right now.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Jones Plantation, I think might be the most important work of art in my lifetime. What a great movie that was. You obviously have seen it, yeah?
Oh, yeah. No, we got promoted on the site and everything. Yeah, it's a good program. And that came from, that's a long story, but, you know, it is the idea that we're already slaves. You know, voting doesn't make you free. It just makes you, you know, hurtable.
It makes you codependent.
You know, I appreciate you spending time with me, Robert. Thanks for going through the hassle of getting on. And, you know, when there's new stuff, you know, let me know. And, you know, put in contact with Donna, someone that we can talk. Because I really would like to, if I could even get someone in France, if you have friends there that speak English, I can understand. And because what I'm trying to do here in the last few shows and trying to make an effort for this week and about this time is that around the world, there are at least 40 countries that are going to change leadership and democratically elected, whatever. So 2024 is the year. 2024, it's going to go, you know, they, them, those, or not. It's going to be the New World Order of the Bilderberg and World Economic, we rule you people, or it's kind of, yeah, we're breaking that, yeah, we're done. And I could see it cracking when it was Brexit in 15, and then the Trump thing, you know, and it came out of, you know, the Lovolution thing, and then you get the yellow vest deal and the protesting tractor people, and the EU got run over by a tractor. I mean, you know, I'm like, this is really interesting. And then they pulled back and they said, oh, I'm sorry, you guys can go ahead and plant and do nitrogen all you want, and I'm sorry to bother you, but they didn't change the policy. You know, this net zero thing, we're going to do it. We'll do it another way. You know, we'll take miniguns and helicopters and shoot all the cows or something. I have no idea.
They're still pushing COVID shots in the supermarkets. I mean, they don't care.
Yeah, no, it's but when you have the energy and the passion that gets some people that been in the process, they, you know, found their tribe or whatever, you're happy with the people that you're associating with in the yellow vest thing abroad and here, I'm going, all right, well, is there an overlap? And I'm going, if it's an occupier, it's my land, I'm going, fine, get your ass on the land, you know? But, well, we don't use money. Well, it's going to be hard to get a Starlink. I mean, you know, it's just there is so much technology and methods. You can green the desert. You can collect your water. You can grow your food. You can educate your own kids. You can build your own structures. Where I would really put a lot of focus on is just being, I don't need anything except to be left alone. I'm allowed to build my dwelling on my land. I'm allowed to do something without a permission slip. I'm allowed without paying extortion, you know, to the collective. I'm allowed to, you know, these are things that I would think that would overlap, but somehow that gets diverted. Somehow that's not part of the discussion. Somehow, oh, not that, you know, because
no,
it's the most effective thing.
I think it is very much part of the discussion.
Boom! Put me in front of these guys. I'll tell you what's up.
No, there's, in France, they have something called a ZAD, a zone of defense, where they do just that. They'll pick an area of public, you know, we're going to build something right here and we're going to defend it. We don't care what anybody else says.
No. I want to talk to those guys. I want to talk to those guys.
Oh, God, look it up. ZAD. In fact, they held a place in southern France for 13 years. And, well, they were trying to build, and finally they wanted to build an airport there, and they said no, and they held them up. Finally, the army went in and cleared them out, but they held it for 13 years.
Yeah.
So,
13 years is when they finally, you know, they really, really, really wanted it.
I feel that sense of hope. Look, all these things you talk about, who knows? All these things can work. And we should have technologies where we can have energy on a decentralized basis and water on a decentralized basis. There's a lot of hope. Just keep...
Nope, got to get a permit to collect
layers,
sunlight.
Ernie.
Got to get a permit to collect sunlight. Not allowed. Not allowed.
Hey,
no, you think I'm kidding. In Spain, they were charging anybody collected sun. You're getting taxed on the energy that you use that God saw to fall on your land. And you're in America, you know, you're not allowed to collect rainwater. You know, in Denver, you're free. You can collect 2 55-gallon barrels of rainwater now. You're free. Oh, well,
these
hell, thanks.
These are all
you know?
Progeny. These are all progeny of the king's lie. My friend Ernie, I would argue.
All right. All right. Well, keep me in mind. Keep me in mind. Okay, Robert, one thing.
Yeah.
What do you get? You know, do you listen to the show any more regularly or at all?
I get free. I don't listen to. I definitely listen to your Corbett interviews for sure.
Okay.
And then I get Freedom Phoenix every day.
Okay, so you Freedom Phoenix guy. What do you get from that? I mean, from your perspective. I got to have a wide radar screen. I'm not, you know, hammering any particular other than just being informed, you know, that you got your radar screen up blipping of different things that I think you should know about. You know, what do you think of the tone and the information and the perspective of Freedom's Phoenix from someone that's more left-oriented like you are?
There's a lot of stuff in there I don't jive with. There's usually maybe two or three things in an edition that will catch my attention, and the rest of it I kind of, you know, Breitbart QAnon, who knows. but I appreciate that because I have, like, you know, I have about a dozen sources like that I peruse.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you have to have a critical eye with everything you look at. I mean, beyond that, there are very few journalists that I take at face value. Maybe Corbett and Whitney Webb, and aside from that, there are some well-read anarchists that I know personally that I talk to. But aside from that, you know, you just sort of scan it. And again, the most important information I get is just from human beings I meet face to face. And I'd sure love it if I don't know how many of these Yellow Vest radios we're going to do. We're sort of on a pace to do about one a week. But the last one, are Americans going to tolerate state border checkpoints? Because that's what was really behind this last little border thing, if you looked at it closely enough.
Yeah.
And that was our last Yellow Vest radio. If you want to, we'd love it if you'd include us. We'd love to because you'd be honest with you, in America, not that many people even know about it.
I'll be a guest. They come on my show, I'll come on their show, and then you can take it and disperse the show of everybody talking to everybody about whatever, you know.
Well,
but it's going to be this conversation.
I got to hook you up with Nick for starters, and then
all right. Well, have him listen. Donna will get.
We can hook you up with some French folks, maybe. We'll see what.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Because Donna, I went through this. It was very difficult for me to get to the top end of the Venus Project thing, the Zeitgeist deal. It was like this. It was kind of this elusive, evasive kind of, there's no one in charge, but there's somebody in charge of saying, you know, that
well,
these guys can't talk to you and you can't be in charge.
As we're there. I don't see a parallel, actually. At least not with me. We're nothing like that. We're just some people that are just
okay. All right. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All
waiting
right,
on you
honey.
Now. And you know they'll come on their show. They come on this show, whatever. And then if I go on their show, then we could take and we'll put that show and link it on Freedom's Phoenix, and everybody know you know the anarchist Ernie talked to the whatever kind of anarchist Yellow Vest guy. So
right.
we'll do that. All right.
All right. Well,
I gotta go, man.
On est là et on lâche rien, which means we are here and we give up nothing.
Cool.
Thanks, Ernie.
Cool. Peace, man. Thanks, Robert.
All right. Stay free out there.
Bye.